Okay, fine. So yesterday we dealt with Megillah on Purim. Mishulah. Today I want to deal with Seudah. So what do you do with the meal? Obviously we're talking about someone who lives in Yerushalayim or any other walled city, but we'll just use Yerushalayim for ease. So when does the meal happen? So there are three potential days in play. What are the 3 days in play? Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. Very good. Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. So, let's try to understand this. The Yerushalmi says the following line. Su'udat Rosh Chodesh u'su'udat Purim me'achrin velo matimin. The meal of Rosh Chodesh, whatever that means, but not our sugya. What?
Like,
where they
would serve, like,
Sudat Rosh Chodesh. Sudat Rosh Chodesh. So, me'achrin velo makdimin. We push it later, but not earlier. So, just from that line, what day do you think it would be?
Sunday.
Or at least not Friday, or Thursday, or Wednesday, or whatever. Right? Meaning, not earlier than Purim proper. But later, just from that line. Okay. What about Shabbat? What do you think?
So
the Gemara says, V'yasu atan v'Shabbat. Why don't you do it on Shabbat? Meaning, what's the wrong with doing Shabbat?
I mean, doesn't say,
we're reading the Yerushalmi for a minute, right? The Yerushalmi says later, not earlier. The Gemara says, why not Shabbat? What is the Yerushalmi answer? Amar le, la'asot otam yimei mishteh v'simcha, et shesimchato tluya b'veidin, yatza zeh shesimchato tluya b'dei adam. You can't do it on Shabbat. Why? Because the Seudah is described as La'asot otam, to make them. So how does the Yerushalmi read the word la'asot otam? That you make them. Correct. And you don't make Shabbat. Exactly. You don't make Shabbat. God makes Shabbat. One second. Okay. Let's take this year. So according to the Yerushalmi, what day does it seem like you have the Seudah?
Sunday.
Very good. Why don't you have it on Friday? Ma'achrin v'lo makdimin. Very good. We do it later, but not earlier. One second. Yes, but we don't make the Seudah. You're doing this for your Kiddush thing, I know. That's what you're thinking it. I get it. I understand. But, therefore you're left with two options. Bismana on Shabbat or on Sunday. Why can't you do it on Shabbat? So, the Yerushalmi says, La'asot otam yemei shmishet v'simcha, et shesimchato tluya b'beidin, yatzazeh shesimchato tluya b'dei shamayim. Okay, someone conceptually explain the drasha. What is the problem with making the Seudah on Shabbat?
Because Shabbat's already created by God,
Okay, great. And therefore what?
And therefore the simple you have to make for Yom Tov is you have to make it, not that necessarily.
So what is that pigiyah in?
Yom Tov.
In Purim, okay. So, and you read it as the problem is that it would diminish Purim.
Yes.
How else might you read the Yerushalmi? Right, meaning, what's the problem here? The Gemara is saying that the Seudah of Purim is meant to be made by man, and Shabbat is made by God. So, but what's the problem? Is it that if you make a man-made, generated Seudah on Shabbat, that somehow undermines Shabbat? or is using the meal that's by, on the day whose Kedusha was created by God is somehow incomplete in terms of contributing to that person, right? So it's not clear. It's clear that they can't, they're not identical and therefore can't be on the same day. Yeah. Which one it is, let's say not. Okay. Now, there is a problem that I didn't give you the Makaros, but I'll say it outside. That the Rishonim deal with, which is, I don't understand. Why does Shabbat create a problem here? Rami said, oh, is this, maybe there's really a third way of saying this. Right? Rami has a third possibility. Right? One possibility is it's Pogei B'Sudot Purim. Another is Pogei B'Sudot Shabbat. The third is, essentially what Rami said, which is Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, it's Pogei in both. Right? Meaning, because they have different identities, they must be separate, and therefore you can't join them. Right? You have three possibilities. It's a problem in Sudat Shabbat, it's a problem in Shabbat, it's a problem in Purim, or it's a problem in taking two different identities of Simcha and trying to combine them. That's the problem. Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. The problem with the third model, and the reason why you might not want to say that, is that in general it's not clear there's a mitzvah of simcha on Shabbat. Right? There's a mitzvah of simcha on Yom Tov. On Shabbat there's a mitzvah of oneg. And they're not the same. Right? Simcha seems to be a positive mitzvah to have a meal and things like that. Oneg seems to be a bit more subjective. Potentially. Right? Potentially. And there are certain nafkaminas to the difference of Simcha and Shabbat and Yom Tov. So, for example, Avelut is broken up by Yom Tov, but not by Shabbat. Right? Even though Shabbat is a happy day and you don't sit on the floor on Shabbat, Shiva goes through Shabbat. Because Shabbat is not a day of Simcha, so it doesn't end Avelut. It mitigates what you do publicly, but it doesn't, or mitigates what you how you mourn, but it doesn't eliminate Avelut as opposed to Yom Tov. Which does, because the definition of Yom Tov is Simcha. So why is it that the Yerushalmi, so I would have said, that's enough to explain why we don't go the direction of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, and we instead identify a unique problem to Purim and Shabbat, how they in particular don't mix. Right, that's how I would have read the Yerushalmi. Right. That, I think, is the simplest reason of the Yerushalmi. Is that the reason the Yerushalmi is a local one is because it's not simply that there's Simcha and Simcha. Shabbat doesn't have Simcha in quite the same way. But there's something unique about the day that either, right, they whatever it is the mitzvah is on Shabbat, it expresses itself in an opposite way of Purim, and therefore they don't mix. Yeah, which one is Iker, I don't know. That's how I would have read it. Now, Rav Rimon in his book doesn't read it this way. He thinks that the issue at hand is directly Simcha, and therefore he defends this Yerushalmi in one of two ways. Either he notes that there are Shitot in the Rishonim who hold that there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbat, which is implied by some of our tefillot, right? Like Yismechu b'malchutcha and things like that. We do use the formal word of simcha. But I think it's more likely that this is not a formal claim of simcha. It's a problem, rather, that in some way they don't mix. Why don't they mix? So the Ritva has the following suggestion. If you look at 16, the Ritva says, Od amru sham. Aval Udat Purim Usudat Rosh Chodesh Me'achren Lo Maktimin. Uperchu B'Yerushalmi Sheimchal Purim B'Shabbat Me'achren Asudat Achar Shabbat. Kedei Shitihei Simchat Purim Nikeret V'Lo Tit Arbei V'Usudat Shabbat. The Ritva says in Chanami, it's not about Simcha. Yes, exactly. The whole point here is that we want Sudat Purim to be unique. So according to him, the problem is not in Shabbat, the problem is in Purim. And uvidarshin and lami dechivla, so otam you may mishevet zivka. And I'll be fair. I think that the Rizva is the best read of the Gemara of the Yerushalmi, because what he's saying, the problem is, it doesn't sound like it's Shabbat. It sounds like it's Purim. So it's not about Simcha. What's the problem? The meal practically must be needs an asiyah. It needs to be made, right? Which sounds like it needs to be unique, right? You need to show it's Purim by making a meal. If you were going to do a meal, even if it's not formally the same, it's not Simcha, it doesn't matter. The point is that to have a meal of Purim on a day when you already have festive meals means that there's no asiyah su'uda, right? You have to say b'dei shamayim. So I think that that's what the Ritva is getting at in terms of how he understands the Yerushalmi. Right? That it's not a formally, the way Rami said it, of Ein Marvin Simcha Mitzvah. Look, maybe Shabbat doesn't have a formal mitzvah simcha. The problem is, as Andrew said, it's that there'll be something lacking in Sudat Purim if I did it on Shabbat. And the way the Ritva says is because it won't be clear I'm making a meal for Purim. That's the problem. Right? The whole point is that I make a festive meal that demonstrates that it's Purim. If I don't do that, then there's something lacking. And on a day when I already make meals, so it's a problem to just integrate the meal of Purim into it, because there's that publicity, that whatever it is just not clear when I would have done this anyways. Now, the Ritva himself doesn't like the Yerushalmi. The Ein Yerushalmi has a barur. He says, but I don't like the Yerushalmi. Why not? Daha kichtev lo yavor afilu asimcha namihu tinizkarim v'naasim katuv sham. So there's a big problem. Who said lo yavor? Who brought up, was it Ezra? Did you bring up lo yavor? Who said it? Oh, what's lo yavor? It was Rami? Oh, so the Ritva is a problem. The Ritva says, wait a second. The Bavli tells you that why don't you read the Megillah after the 15th? Lo yavor. Right? Because the pasuk of the Megillah in Megillah Esther says, v'lo yavor. Right? These are the times of Purim. Lo yavor. It can't go farther. Which Chazal take to mean that Megillah can't be read past the 15th. There's a range, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. But the Yerushalmi seems to be saying that V'lo Yavor is only on Kriyat Megillah. But the Ritva says that's a very problematic conceptualization. Why? Because if you look at the Psukim in Megillah and Esther don't tell you that you can't read the Megillah V'lo Yavor. What does it tell you? These are the times of Purim V'lo Yavor. It sounds like it's about the essence of the day, which includes all mitzvah ayom, all simcha. And he says, "Dachti v'lo yavor afilu simcha namihu." Siniskarim v'nasim katuv sham. Because the pasuk is talking about every part of Purim. V'afilu echad v'shavat yom devavu v'bididei nami ika v'lo yavor l'vnei yudal mikra megila v'hu adin l'simcha da'i itkish. So I don't understand. So what is the Ritva highlighting? What's the conceptual problem here in the Yerushalmi? Besides for the question of why you can't do it on Shabbat, Yerushalmi seems to think that what? What is the relationship of Su'uda to Purim? So, right, the Ritva's problem is the Yerushalmi seems to think that that what? Right, or let's start with the Ritva. The Ritva makes a very simple argument. If you can't read Megillah Pes Tedvav, why is that true? Right, but what does Lo Yavor mean? That Purim has a certain flexible essence, but once it says Lo Yavor, that tells you that the entire essence of Purim and everything that Purim expresses must be expressed between 11 and 15. But the Yerushalmi seems to not believe that. The Yerushalmi seems to think that Megillah can't be read, if it accepts the drasha, can't be read past that vav. And yet the Suda can. So what does that mean? Right? What does that mean about Purim? Like, is Seuda so extrinsic to the day that it can go past the times? Meaning, the days of Purim are up to Tetzvav, and yet you can have like a makeup meal post-Purim because the Seuda is so extraneous, the essence of the day. That seems weird. Right?
Well, you can say the fact that
the
name doesn't specify how many days.
Correct, but that's Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tetzvav.
But
maybe
the
Mishnah and the Mishnah are okay, so you want to say something clever, which is maybe not. Maybe Megillah has to be read up till there. But, you know, the party, who knows how long it went on in Shushan, right? It went on for weeks and months and years. So maybe it's true that, like, when it comes to Megillah, that's more formal. And therefore, it must be done in a certain set of days. But, you know, partying, you know, there's the holiday season, right? You know, Christmas starts the day after Thanksgiving, and, you know, Pesach starts, you know, the day after Purim, and, yeah, he had a Purim, you know, and whatever, the post-Corona freedom will last for a good, you know, year or two, where people are just letting off steam, and the world will just be chaos. You know, everyone, they will have used up all their ability to restrain themselves, you know, to restrain themselves in the world, whatever, right? So maybe Gabi's right, in a chalami. Meals, party, the holiday spirit, the holiday cheer, you know, that's more amorphous. And therefore, maybe Megillah, it could be. But the Ritzvah doesn't like it, because he says what he thinks, that at some level, all the mitzvot ayom are integrated into Purim, and if we say v'lo yavur mikra megillah, that should teach you that the holiday cheer ends after Shushan Purim. The day Shushan Purim is over, you're not happy anymore. You're just cleaning for Pesach. There is no joy left in your life, right? There is just cleaning for Pesach. That's all there is. Now, who basically says what Gavi said, though, in much more succinctly? The Ran defends the Yerushalmi, and he says, "Mash amara katu v'lo yavor, hainu l'kriya." Lo yavor is only in the kriya, aval simcha lo divera katu klal. But when it comes to simcha, it isn't limited. Why? Lefi she'enam ba'otam zmanim acherim shenidrabu. Udami nami zmano shel zeh. Look, zmano shel zeh. Aina ba'otam zmano kavua. Kizmano dinan minei b'kmano leo. Said, you know, because it's not, right, it's not limited by that. It's, you know, it's more expensive. It's more flexible. Right? So it could be that the Ran is saying something along what the lines of what Gavi is saying, right? That the formal mitzvot ayam, simcha is less formal in that sense. It's a bit more loose, and therefore the strictures of lo yavor, that's for mikra megillah, but not for
Suda. So what is Suda in that sense?
So you're presumably it has to be somewhat structured.
Can you have a
firm Suda and Shavuot? No. Presumably there has to be some limit. But okay, so what do we have so far then? We have the Yerushalmi who thinks that when's the Suda? On Sunday. The Ritzvah doesn't like it, but he doesn't tell you exactly, right? He doesn't like it, right? He thinks we don't pass him that way. The Ram thinks we do. The Meiri, look at 18. The Meiri says, Suda Purim Itba'er Sham Gamkein, Shem Me'achren V'lo Me'akdimin. Even though we read the Megillah earlier, Ein Simcha B'din Kadima. He says, what the Yerushalmi seems to believe is that Simcha can't be moved up. V'noach lanu shenit acher. It's better to be late. Why? V'nir'eh ha-ta'am sharein ne'emar b'feirush lasot odam yemei mishteh v'simcha otam v'lo acherim b'mkoma. When the pasuk says, make them parties, it means them and not others. Nimsa shelo chalaz man chovata adayin, which means that until Purim, the mitzvah hasn't taken effect. Umeacher shelo chalaz man chovata, and since until Purim, the obligation didn't set in, adayin ma'achrenota, we can push it later, because mutav shetitche lizman shehigia chiyuva, it's better, basically, to have a holdover happiness, right? We're exuberant on Purim, we just can't express it. It's like telling someone, I want you to enjoy, celebrate Pesach on Yud Dalet. Right? Everyone would say, really? You think I have time to have a big fancy meal while I'm doing Bir Chametz? If I'm too tired to really enjoy my Seder, I'll have a family get-together on the second day of Yom Kippur. Right? Yeah, thank you. Chag HaMatzos, fine? Right? No. It's very simple. If I said, if it's not possible for you to have a family gathering at the Seder, when would you rather have a family gathering? Well, on the 14th or on the 16th? Right? I think every sane person would say, the 16th. The 14th, I am too busy. I'm getting ready for Pesach. If I can't have my family over for Seder, so we'll find a time over Chol HaMoed. No sane person says, I'll have my family over during right, Bir Chametz. It's just not the way things work, right? I'd rather push off, right? I'd rather push off the party than do it early. So that's what he says. He says it makes more sense to say, if I can't do it on Shabbat, because on Purim, which is Shabbat, so I'll do it the next day, but you don't push it up. Uvitalmud Oma Arav, Sha'alu v'yasota v'yashivu lasota tam k'tivet simchatzot tluya v'beidin yatozesh simchatzot tluya b'idei shamayim v'od shari mishloach manot haya nidche. We'll come back to the question of mishloach manot. U'mikol makom, and he says, despite the Yerushalmi, yesh mefarshim shemeacher shemakdimin b'kriyat ha-megillah k'mo shebe'arnu atem makdimin b'simcha. But there are others who say, no, if you move the Megillah back to the 14th, then you move the Simcha back to the 14th. V'lo nemarein Simcha l'bizmano b'gedav ha'da kfarim. And maybe the only thing it means in the Yerushalmi, maybe the Yerushalmi isn't even we assume that the Yerushalmi is talking about our case. But maybe it's not. Maybe the Yerushalmi is talking about what? Not the makzimin of Shushan Purim to regular Purim, but the kfarim. But when you move it to Sudat, to the 14th, then you would move it. V'yesh cholkim ba'barayot, avamodim ba'bekrachim, o v'akamam l'yudal, uzman l'rova olam. What would be the logic? Because it's different to say you don't have a Sudat on the 11th than it does to say you don't have it on the 14th. Because 14th is Purim for everybody else. So maybe when you move it to the 14th, that's still v'churam ad'amachar, avar zmanah, v'chol olam, v'chin yereh barur. Okay? So what do we have so far? The Yerushalmi says, you push it later, not earlier. There are two ways of understanding the Yerushalmi. The way the Ritva understands the Yerushalmi and the Ran understands the Yerushalmi is that this means, under no circumstances, not the Kfarim who read on the 11th, 12th, or 13th, nor the Krachim, right, Yerushalayim on a year like this where they read it on Friday, they never have the meal early. And since you can't do it on Shabbat, you do it late. Hence the 16th. Possibility two is what the Meiri says, which is no. When the Kfarim move it back to the 11th, 12th, 13th, the Su'uda remains on the 14th or on the 15th. Right? But in Yerushalayim, when they move Mikra Megillah down to Friday, that's not what we're talking about. Then you do it on Friday. So let's tease out the rationales again. Okay? The Meiri's position is pretty clear. Why would you distinguish between the Kfarim and Yerushalayim? Why would you say that the Kfarim don't have the suit on the 11th, but Yerushalayim does have the suit on the 14th? What's the logic? Yes, that's what he says, but what does that tell you? Everyone's out on the suit, and therefore what? You're right, but let's push it conceptually. What's the Meiri saying? What's the logic to do it on Friday? Push it, Gabi. Very good. I think this is not very hard. He's saying, look, when we let the Kfarim read in the 11th, 12th, 13th, no one's arguing it's Purim. You're just saying that there's a leniency that allows you to read the Megillah early. But as we saw yesterday with Mikra Megillah, it's not clear that when you let you read the Megillah on the 14th, that's the equivalent of someone in the car reading on the 12th, because it's still objectively Purim. It's not the Purim you normally celebrate, but it's still Purim. Right? So the Meiri is saying, look, you don't push the Suuda back to the 11th, 12th, 13th, because that's a heter in Megillah. But Shushan Purim being moved to Friday is a completely different animal. That's not a heter to move the Kriya early. What is it? It's saying that when Purim falls on Shabbat in Yerushalayim, so you have no choice but to do what? To embrace the other Purim. But Pshuto Kimashmo, Friday is your Purim. I mean, Friday would be Purim for the people in Yerushalayim. And therefore, everything will happen on Friday. Right? That's the main reason to do Friday. What the problem with saying Sunday, as we said, is lo yavor, right? Because if you think that Simcha is related to the essence of Purim, and you think that Purim is lo yavor, so it has to be either on Friday or on Shabbos. If you want to justify pushing it later, so then you have to say, yeah, maybe meals are less connected to the essence of the day, and therefore more flexible, and they can go later, or something like that, right? Keeping the holiday spirit, I don't know. Now, there's one more possibility, right? What other day of the week might you say you do the Suda, Rami? We did Sunday. We did Friday. What's left? Thank you, Shabbos, right? There is one more possibility, which is Yerushalmi didn't like Shabbos, but maybe you can. And the Eshkol has a sort of a compromised position in this regard. The Eshkol says, your Suda on Shabbos has a din Suda Purim. But then you do another meal on Sunday as Tashlumin. Right? So he seems to try to be hedging his bet. Then on the one hand, Shabbos is really Purim, but because you need some sort of unique meal, the Eshkol always has fascinating things. Because you do it again, because it wasn't ideal, because it got swallowed up by Shabbos. So on the one hand, yes, you're Yotzei on Shabbos, but then you need to do something else. It's like, I can't go out on my birthday because, you know, I don't know.
Okay, this works for birthdays, but like, not for birthdays.
What do you mean? Right? We'll have like a symbolic party on my birthday, but then we'll have a real party later on when we can manage to get everybody together. Right? You've never done this? It's like, on my birthday, happy birthday, here's a cupcake, but we'll have a real party on Sunday, because that's when everyone can get together. You've never had this? This never happened? Never happened to you? Never. Rami, it's never happened to you. Oh, it has happened. It's not like your whole family freezes their whole life, even when your birthday was... Honestly, I'm sure this has happened to people. Your birthday fell on Shabbos, so your parents said, we'll have on Shabbos, we'll have a special cake for the family, and on Sunday we'll invite all your friends.
Yeah.
Right? That's the logic. And which one is your birthday party? Gom to gom. They're both sort of, right? Like, you know, little kids love this. It's like, you know, in Israel, in a lot of the schools, they have like a birthday party, but not for every kid. Basically, each month, all the kids have birthday month, they pick one day and they celebrate everyone's together. But that is like generated when Aaron was younger, though still to an extent now. It's like as soon as it's the month, he has a problem because it, but then what they do, they make it worse, is that if your birthday's in the summer, so they pick like a bunch of days in the June, and they say, okay, today is our birthday party for everyone in July, and today's our birthday party for everyone in August. But that means that like Aaron feels like his birthday season is like, you know, from the last week of school all the way through the summer. Because like, you know, hey, we started, right? We do these things. And if you ask him which his birthday party is, it's, yes, everything. You know, I mean, Ezra identifies like celebratory cakes with birthdays. So he hasn't quite figured out that whenever we make a seum and have a seum cake that's not a birthday cake, so he thinks that Meyer has been having a birthday every day, because like, you know, right? He's like, I want to learn so that I can have a birthday. That's not how it works, right? You can learn to make a seum and get a seum cake. You don't just get your, he's two, so give him a break. But, you know, like, but yeah, like birthdays, you know, we can do that. You know, you do one today, you do one tomorrow. Rami's like, I want a cake for my seum. Yeah?
Like, I want to go to have dinner on this night, but you know,
no, I'm pointing out you do this all the time. I'll have a birthday party on Shabbos, I'll have a birthday party on Sunday.
Like, we don't just
really do a my family party here, my party with my class here. It's my birthday until you finish giving me presents. I mean, I don't understand. Like,
your name is birthday, your Hebrew birthday.
It's like Shmuel David's text, right? Shmuel David's text.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Sean. Cake next week. So his birthday starts when he gets the text and the ends when he gets the cake. Okay? Right? I understand it's weird, but that's the Eshkol's view. Okay? So, now again, but besides the Eshkol, most people agree it can't be on Shabbat. And as we saw, there are three ways of formulating that. One is because you can't mix Simcha. One is that it's a Pigia in Purim, which seems to be the Ritva. But what's the other conceptual possibility? Why can't you do it on Shabbat? Unless in Shabbat. So who believes that? So you have this wonderful tshuva in number 21 from Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger takes the position, the reason you don't do it on Shabbat is because you don't get in Shabbat. Why? So he says as follows. Bidin l'asav b'Shabbat. Why don't you do it on Shabbat? So then he quotes the Yerushalmi. So go down 1, 2, 3, 4 lines. V'lechara eino muvan. I don't understand the Yerushalmi. Darei b'Shabbat lo k'tiv klal simcha. As we said, Shabbat doesn't have a mitzvah of simcha, so what's wrong with doing a party on Shabbat? It doesn't seem to be an anathema to Shabbat. Ach nireh kavanat ha-mashachat of yimei mishtev v'simcha. Says, no, it's going to hurt Shabbat. Why? Because there's something unique about Sudat Purim. What is that? Yes. Mishteh. It's a day of drinking. Right? Purim, alcohol is part of the picture. And he says, Da mishteh gorim lo l'simcha. Ulekach tenach b'purim b'chol. Da zulei da b'purim lo ave mishteh avim lo ave mishteh lo ave simcha. Ulekach simcha tau tluya v'beitin. Dehem kovim yimei purim nazav em mishteh u'mishteh nimshach simcha. He says, look, during the week, it could be that the only thing that makes you happy is a shtickle alcohol. Right? Aval b'Shabbat, kevan dechtiv v'karat l'Shabbat oneg, im kein lulei purim nami m'choyev lechol v'lishtot, u'meleim gorven simcha, b'nefesh adam, l'kach avi simcha, tov b'vei shamayim. He said, so, first point is that it's not about formal simcha. It's about, would you be partying were it not for the mitzvah? On Shabbat, yes. During the week, no. But what does the alcohol have to do with it? So he says, so his first possibility is all it means is, would you or would you not have been having a party that is only happy because you have alcohol? On Shabbat, the answer is no, you're happy because it's Shabbat. During the week, you're only happy with a little bit of alcohol. Okay, that's his first answer. But his second answer, if you look all the way at the end, two lines in the bottom, is no, maybe it's actually a pigyan Shabbat. Ukshani la'atzmi hayanirali. I think the real reason, tam acher. The ain lasod b'shabbat, you can't do it on Shabbat, came into Sudat Purim, be'inan d'chayv adam levasume b'puraya, ad lo yadam in arur haman levaruch Mordechai, uv'shabbat be'inan zachorek yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho v'lo yishnechenum b'libo. On Shabbat you have a mitzvah to remember it's Shabbos, so you can't have a meal that encourages forgetting. That's his claim. Right? So what do we have? So we have the Eshkol thing fundamentally can be on Shabbat. You have the Meiri who says fundamentally has to be on Thursday, because while it's true you don't move the Suda back in the Kfarim, that's because that's not Purim, that's just a head to read the Megillah early. But here you're actually moving Purim earlier to the regular Purim day, so you do it on Friday. The Yerushalmi, as understood by the Rizvah and the Ron, and the Ron Paskin this way, say you go to Sunday. And we said, how? What about Velo Yavor? Maybe Simcha is more flexible. Why don't you do it on Shabbat? According to all the Shidduchim, do it on Shabbat. So one possibility is Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Problem is Shabbat doesn't have really Simcha, so maybe that's not such a big issue. Maybe for these purposes it does, or maybe you hold there is Simcha or whatever. Or you say it's a Pigia in Purim. That's the Shita of the Rizvah, which is that the Suda needs to be Nikar, right? Purim, you need to make it. It needs to be shown to the world. The first day in Rosh Shlomo Kluger goes in this direction also, right? Which is that the Suda at Purim has to be a Suda where you drink and make it happy, but it's not a happy day otherwise. I don't know what to tell you. That's what he says, right? Or his second thought is like, no, it's a Pigyan Shabbat. Because the Suda of Purim expresses itself in alcoholic, forgetful stupor, which obviously, as you know, I don't pass in that way. I don't think you should get drunk. I've said it 100 times. Someone's going to be listening this year. I thought you think you shouldn't get drunk. I don't. I'm just saying what Rosh Shlomo Kluger said. What do you want for my life? Right? And Shabbat requires added cognizance. Because you need to know that it's Shabbat. Zachor et yom ha-Shabbat l'kadesho. And on Purim, you shouldn't know it's Purim, yeah. Right? Or at some point, you should lose that knowledge. Again, not endorsing. Just reading. Really not endorsing. So that is the position of Rosh Shlomo Kluger. So the halacha, what's the halacha? So Shulchan Aruch tells you, Yom Chamisha Asar Shechal Yod B'Shabbat, Ein Koren HaMegillah B'Shabbat. We read the Megillah on Friday. The Govin Matanot, Ma'od Matanot Aniyim Chalkim Oto Vavayom. You collect Matanot Lavyonim on the day you read the Megillah. That's what we saw yesterday. Because we assume that the eyes of the Aniyim are Talui in the Megillah. So for whatever reason, Matanot Lavyonim always goes in the Megillah. But what about Tzuda? Uviyom Shabbat Motim Shnei Svarim Uvasheni Korin V'Yavo Amalek V'Omrim Alanisim. The Ein Osin Sudat Purim Ad Yom Echad B'Shabbat. Shulchan Aruch takes the position of the Ron in his understanding of the Yerushalmi and says that the Sudah should be on Sunday. Mishnah Brura says Damrinim Yerushalmi V'Asvot B'Shabbat Amar La'Yimei Mishnah Katuv Etzis Simchatot Tluya B'Vegdin Yotazeb Shabbat Simchatot Tluya B'Dei Shamayim V'Hua Din Mimela Shiloh Manot Gam Yom Echad B'Shabbat. Again, hold Mishloach Manot for a minute. I hope we get it to today, but maybe we won't. Vine Maral Chaviv Herech Lochiach Dibavli Shalonu Ein Sofer Kane. But the Maral Chaviv argues that it's not true. Like the Ritva, that the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. V'da'ato he B'Shabbat. He says that according to Bavli, not like the Eshkol, that it's Shabbat with a makeup, just Shabbat. That the Yerushalmi thinks that it's anathema, and the Bavli doesn't. Now, why wouldn't it? So you remember, we said that you can poke a hole in any of the Yerushalmi's arguments, right? But specifically, if you think the reason is Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, and you think that maybe the Yerushalmi holds there's a mitzvah of Simchan Shabbat, and that's why it can't mention it with Purim, since the Bavli seems to hold there is no mitzvah of Simchan Shabbat, so there's very good reason to believe that there is no contradiction between having a Sudat Purim on Shabbat and having a Sudat Shabbat on Shabbat. You know, we don't tell you that when Pesach falls on Shabbat that you need to have, you know, two meals for a Seder, and then when you finish the Seder, have another meal for Shabbat, and then have, you know, lunch for Purim, and then for Pesach, and then another lunch for Shabbat, and then Shalosh Shabbos, right? We don't tell you to have five meals in one day, right? We just say, okay, Shabbat, and what do you want? There's nothing we can do about it, right? So maybe the same thing is true on Purim. And he says, and maybe even Gam Mishloach Manot b'Shabbat, Kemono, they may ask you that, and maybe Mishloach Manot would be like that as well. V'haradbaz pasak yeshulchan aruch v'chenu dara mogin Avraham v'karbana nitanel. Okay, so how do we paskin? So the Mishnah Berurah seems to actually rule that the Suda should be on Shabbat, right? Unlike the Shulchan Aruch. The Chazon Ish, Rav Avadya Yosef, the Minchas Yitzchak, all paskin, like Shulchan Aruch, that it should be on Sunday. The Pri Chadash is machmir, that what should you do, like the Eshkol, have a meal on Shabbat, and a meal on Sunday, L'chumra. But as Rav Rimon says, the question of whether you should be machmir, you tell me, what does it hang on? If you think that the Suda, having the Suda on Shabbat diminishes Purim, so then you should be machmir. And do what? Have a Suda Purim on Shabbat and on Sunday. Because this way, in case the right day is Shabbat, then you did it on Shabbat. And in case the right day is Sunday, you gave Purim its due. But if you think that the reason you can't have a Suda Shabbat, Purim on Shabbat is because it's Pogay on Shabbat, it's not being machmir to make your Shabbat Suda into your Purim Suda. Because you ruin Shabbat. The fact that you're doing another meal on Sunday doesn't help the fact that you ruin Shabbat. So if you think the potential problem is it ruins Purim, so no big deal. Do it on Shabbat and then do it again on Sunday. But if you think the problem is that it ruins Shabbat, then don't do it. Like Rosh Shlomo Kluger. If Rosh Shlomo Kluger says getting shicker on Shabbat is going to ruin Shabbat, then don't say, I'll be mashmir, I'll be shicker for 48 hours straight. No, right? You missed Shabbat. That's the point. You can't do that. Right? So the question of whether you should even be machmir depends on whether you think the potential problem is a lack in Shabbat or a lack in Purim. If it's a lack in Purim, so you can be machmir and do it on Shabbat and on Sunday. Right? But if you think it's a potential problem in Shabbat, then there's no safe position. Right? There's no safe position. And therefore, you should leave Shabbat as a normal Shabbat Suda and only do Sunday. Some have like a yet another compromise, which is to have a mostly normal Suda on Shabbat, but add like one special thing to acknowledge as Purim. Right? So not like a full-out Purim Suda, which would make the day feel like Purim, but acknowledge Purim some way. So this is like a halfway. Exactly, yeah. Have a hummus thousand for dessert on, right? Like, nod your hat at the fact that it is Purim, but like, Ozne Haman. Ears of Haman, because he had triangle ears. Yeah.
But if there's an ear of Haman, then what's the ear inside?
What?
If there's an ear of Haman, then what's the ear inside? It's earwax.
Oh, God. Alright. Yeah. No. You know, hello, everyone. Yes, okay. Yeah. Of course, you know why they're really called Tam and Dashan, obviously.
What is a hat?
Cookies.
Oh.
I think. Or pastries.
We need a hat.
So, to quote Rabbi Dr. Meir Soloveitchik, people like having a latke versus Tam and Dashan debate. You ever had a latke Tam and Dashan debate? Oh, really? Latke Tam and Dashan debates are like the funniest things ever. It's basically a formal debate in where you're supposed to argue about which is better, and people come up with those ridiculous arguments, and it's just like people can be very, come up with very interesting, but as he said, Obviously, the answer is that latkes are better. Because hamantaschen literally come from the Yiddish, where mun is poppy seeds. Because the original hamantaschen were only those poppy seeds ones. And he said, poppy seeds are objectively the worst food on earth, right? So yeah, so most people don't. Most people are like, those are the hamantaschen we avoid, and we give them to Andrew. If anyone gets poppy seed hamantaschen for Purim, they go to Andrew. So we yesterday Ara made peanut butter ones dipped in chocolate, like Reese's flavored. So that's what we do. Anyways, but so I'm not a purist. On some things I'm a purist. On these I'm like an anti-purist. It's like, yes, I know the word literally means poppy seed cookies, but I can't. So like, you know, as he said, there is no worse experience in life than biting into a hamantaschen and thinking it's chocolate and discovering it's poppy seed. Okay? There is no worse experience in life. It's just terrible. It's the worst. It's just the worst thing ever. It's like, why do you do that? So, that's what hamantaschen means. Hamantaschen literally just means mundaschen, right? It's poppy seed stuff, cookies. Yeah. Yeah. Cookie? No, mun means mun. It's mun. Hamantaschen are really mundaschen. They're mundaschen. I think pasen means like cookie or pastry or samad. I don't really know. Okay, well, I'm glad someone enjoys them. Well, if I get any, I'll bring them for you, okay? Because my kids are not going to touch them. Right? Or it doesn't like fruit. The fruit ones don't get touched, you know, by at least part of the family either. And there's a limit to how many I can eat, you know. I agree with you. I like raspberry. I do like the raspberry very much. Yeah. Now, what did we do last year? I think last year we did cookie dough and cookie dough. Yes, in the middle was cookie dough. Cookie dough in a cookie. Yes. Or it doesn't like jelly, so like, it doesn't like fruit. So like, we go with other ones. Chocolate, cookie dough, peanut butter, dipped in chocolate, you know, whatever. What? So I do think that the Minhag HaOlam is probably Sunday, like Shulchan Aruch, like the Chazon Ish, and though there are definitely people who are machmir to also do something on Shabbos, either a Suda or at least some, you know, I do think it's probably the case. And again, that only works if you think that not having the Suda, that having the Suda on Shabbat is begin Purim, because then you could say, I'll be machmir. If you thought it... What? Yeah, that's why we're doing this topic, is because that's why it falls out this year, correct. Right, it doesn't apply to us, it applies to Rice Clark. Correct. Yeah, Ezra.
What happens if you're you're outside of your line for and inside for vice versa?
So this year it's not really a big deal, right? Meaning this year, I forgot this nafkamina yesterday, I'm sorry. I thought in a normal year, that's complicated. This year, everyone reads Miguel on the same day, so it's not so hard, right? I meant to say this yesterday, but maybe I didn't, or maybe I did say it, and I don't remember if I said it, right? That one of the sfeikot that comes up based on what we said yesterday is the Kriya on Friday considered Zmana or not Zmana, is can Rabbi Sklar read for you this Friday? Right? Because if it's considered Zmana... So then, what?
It matters where
It matters where you live, definitely the beginning of Purim. Meaning if he was here from the beginning of Purim, he would be a Ben Modian for Purim. But let's say he's at home. No. He comes in, he's at home the whole night. But then he comes in the morning, right, for the Suda. Can he read Megillah for you? So if you think that Megillah for him is mana, so your chiyuv and his chiyuv are equivalent. But the general rule is if someone has a lower chiyuv, he can't be motzi someone with a higher chiyuv. So if you think that Friday is considered shelo bizmana for a ben Yerushalayim might not be able to read for a ben ir. And therefore he wouldn't be able to read. So in general, it's not entirely clear. It doesn't necessarily go by where you live in always, but it does seem to go by where you live for Purim, like before, right, where you are at the beginning of Purim. It gets complicated. What if you're planning on going back? And right, all sorts of complications. That's why we, you know, and is it possible for you to escape Purim? Right, this was the old apocryphal thing, is, you know, the apocryphal story about Yeshayahu Leibovich. Okay, I thought we were going to get to Mishloach Mana today. We won't, that's fine. So Yeshayahu Leibovich was known that his basic philosophy of Torah and Mitzvot was the only value is obedience. Right, you do the, you keep halacha because it is. You do it because you have to. Yes, but he went even farther, right, that like there's not necessarily a value in doing the mitzvah at all. There's a value in doing what you're supposed to do. And therefore, I don't know if this story is true, but as the story goes, is he, in order to prove his point, he said, since there's no value in performing mitzvah, there's only no value in doing what you should do, so it would be perfectly legitimate to escape Purim. Right? So if you live in Modi'in, to go to Yerushalayim on Yudalit, and then on Tetvav, go back to Modi'in so that you escape Purim, because this way you didn't do the mitzvah, but you didn't not do the mitzvah either, and therefore that's fine. But so this is a very complicated shaila. So this is the problem. It's a very complicated shaila. I don't want to give it to you al regalachat. It's a very complicated question of exactly how you define this. And this gets worse when people are in the air, right? This used to be like, I'm flying. I don't know why people do this. But someone once asked me, he's like, I'm flying on Purim night, intending to be in Yerushalayim, but I said, Vav. Right? I got the shaila once in Toronto. Right? So I'm going to miss Megillah reading, but is that okay? Because I'm only missing Megillah reading because I'm planning on being a Ben Yerushalayim on Tevav, but you're not a Ben Yerushalayim yet because you're coming from Toronto and it's still Yadalit. Now you're on a plane, so you share Megillah. Right? So this gets very complicated. I'm not like running away. I'm just saying it's complicated. So I can give you the Makara, but we're not going to get to it. And, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we have two options right now. I could give you the 1-minute version of Mishloach Mana, essentially, or we can just say we'll do this tomorrow. I thought we would do a summary, so I just gave you Ravadia's tshuva just to summarize the issues. But the truth is, look, as we already saw, certainly the Shita think that Mishloach Mana goes with Suda, because you already see that conceptually they're linking Mishloach Mana to Suda. So maybe tomorrow let's just take up that question, the very basic lumdos. There's a very famous Chakira in it, which may or may not be correct, but I'll send it to you. Anyways, just to make it easier, I will copy one page in Rav Rimon's thing where it's normally presented as a machloket between the Truman Adeshan and the Monon HaLevi. So tomorrow we'll do that. It probably won't be a full hour, but we'll do that. And you can try to read Rav Ovadia who summarizes it. And then I guess I wasn't going to spend too much time on it, but we'll do Al Anisim also, which is the last little part of it. So that's what I'll give you for tomorrow. So we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do Mishloach Mana and Al Anisim.